Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Cole Molesky, and in studio, Tom Fryer. Tom, are you really on the podcast with me again?
I'm back, baby. I was listening to the one you did with Tim Fakeless. Not only are you unfaithful... No, I'm kidding. I actually loved it. It was great. Listen, Tim Fakeless is covering the Wolves. He's kind of our main beat writer. Colton should be in the mix here, and I'll be doing some Wolves stuff. But he's the guy going to San Antonio. Unfortunately, we couldn't send him to China. We're not quite at that level with our budget. But no, it was a really good podcast, and I'm happy to be back.
I am excited to have you back on as well. We've got lots to discuss here, and we're so close to the NBA season. It's under a month, a little bit ago. Now it's under a few weeks. We're so close. I'm so excited.
No, I'm excited. Well, I should tell the listeners we're having a little bit of a distortion issue in the studio. I believe you will not hear it. Colton said he does not hear it over the phone. We recorded yesterday, and it's an issue just literally in my ears. I'm still not convinced, and Colton knows this. When we were off air, I was talking to the engineer, and he said he didn't hear it. So maybe my hearing's gone, Colton. What's wrong?
This is only happening to you. You're the only one who's experiencing
it. Colton is tough. Tough on his mentor, his fearless leader, saying, I had to use the bathroom before we came in here, and we got a little delayed. I apologize, people. I know you want your podcast right away. And call me an old man, and now my hearing's going, and my life is sad.
It's all slipping away.
My life is sad.
we're not going to beat up on you too much, though, because we should talk about the new rules for the All-Star game that they are going to implement this year, which is basically they're picking teams. Basically, it's a pickup basketball game now, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of beef because of it. What do you think?
Here's what I say. It worked well for hockey. I'm a hockey fan as well. I know that they've done this system. Again, kind of like we describe it as pickup basketball, they describe it as kind of pond hockey. You can't take these games too seriously, and it's more the honor, I believe, of getting in, and this is my issue with it. It is still 12-12, right, East-West?
Yep.
Yeah, so my issue here is let's get rid of conferences. This is ridiculous that you literally have one that is so much better than the other. I think it would make much more sense to go into regions. I know I'm going to this rant and people don't like it, but I've established.
You did this for playoffs.
I'm an old man, and this is my hill to die on. I think it would make a lot more sense to divide it into five regions. Tom Ziller did this a while back. I believe it's still with the current, like all the teams are where they were then. But it would make a lot more sense. Colton, tell me this is not correct. It would make way more sense for the Minnesota Timberwolves to be in a division with the Milwaukee Bucks, our neighbors over there, the Chicago Bulls, and obviously with all the Bulls connections, that'd be super, super fun. With the Detroit Pistons moving into downtown this year.
First of all, you're sleeping on the Pistons, and I don't really like it that much.
Yeah, we have to reveal your bias. Once again, you are a part stakeholder in the Pistons or owe money to a lot of people in Detroit. It's one of
the
two.
Not even a fan, just a stockholder.
Stockholder or you owe money in Detroit. I think it's the second, actually. I think your gambling is catching up to you. But or in the Indianapolis Pacers. Indiana Pacers. I think it makes a lot more sense to put it in the Midwest. What is this division that the Minnesota Timberwolves, it's a great division. It is a phenomenal. If Gordon Hayward were still on Utah, this division would be mind-blowingly good. But it makes no sense. It makes sense. It made sense sort of when Oklahoma City was in Seattle. But now you have like a team near Texas. You got Portland out there. You got Denver sort of makes sense in Minnesota. We got to get rid of this because honestly what it's going to do and how this affects Minnesota Timberwolves fans is it makes it harder for Carl Anthony Towns, who I believe is a generational player, a potential Hall of Famer if he reaches, if he plays as well as he can. He may not make the All-Star team. And I just think there's going to be All-Stars in the East. It's going to be generally a great team. We know that. There's going to be players that are less worthy, and I just think it would make way more sense. You could even expand the rosters more, but if it's the 24 best players playing pickup basketball, there is literally nothing better. But this is still flawed.
Well, first of all, before I get into that, I just want to say for those of you who haven't seen it yet, the voting rules are the same for players to get in. It's still a bunch of fans voting, players voting, and media. And then after everybody's voted in based on who gets the best popular vote rate or average, then those two are the captains that they go through and pick the teams. And it's regardless of East, West, they just pick through the teams. But regarding the discussion of should they have no conferences, I really like the motivation aspect that comes out of the All-Star break and guys who get snubbed. I will never forget that run last year that Damian Lillard went on after – not last season, but the season beforehand, where he went on that run of, what was it, like a month, where he was just averaging something ridiculous, like 40 points after he had the All-Star snub show up everybody. I think that's kind of, and maybe I've just been watching too many football coaches in the month of September, and the way football uses all kinds of terrible ways of motivation and being mean to players to try and get them to do what they want. But I really like the idea of somebody not making the All-Star game, and as a result of it, they go on just a crazy tear for the next month and a half, and it's kind of a storyline afterwards. I really enjoy that, and I think that's a good thing for coaches too. Like if the Timberwolves going into the All-Star break are maybe two spots out of the playoffs, and then Towns doesn't go to the All-Star game, I think Thibodeau should show up to his house every single morning and say, are you going to prove everybody right that you didn't deserve to be in an All-Star every single day? And then they could go on a 2-month tear and just pop into the fifth spot in the playoff seating or something like that. I think it's a great way to motivate. Obviously it's a little lopsided now just because I'm pretty sure you and I are in the running for the All-Star game in the East.
I'm playing in the game. I assure you I will.
Just the last spot on the bench. There's Tom. He's ready.
Oh, I'm going to be an impact player. Actually, I might not. The West might actually play defense. Who knows?
Who is this guy who just comes off the bench and shoots 10 threes in 2 minutes? How is this even possible?
I've been watching.
Didn't even have ten possessions.
I've been watching Gibson in the preseason. I'm motivated. I can do it.
I love it. Speaking of preseason, we've got a game in China here.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think it's a fun deal. I was having dinner with my parents last night. Talking a little Twins, obviously, with the game on there. But my mom was like, why are the Wolves going to China? And that is a very fair question. It also is a fair question to ask, why is the Minnesota Timberwolves, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, playing in San Diego? And I like both moves here. I like that they allow the Lynx to use the facility. We're recording this in the afternoon. They will be playing Game 5, the final game, against the Sparks tonight.
Go Lynx.
Yeah, go Lynx. And, I think they, I think battling to be the class of the WNBA. I think that's the best way to put it. The Sparks, very accomplished team. The Lynx, they're super talented. It's a really fun team to watch. But I like that they say, hey, we'll get out of your hair. We'll go to San Diego. We already know that a lot of the players have Southern California connections. That Jimmy Butler piece, for example, we referenced in a few podcasts ago from Vice, that guy went down to Malibu where he lives. And I especially with the weird weather we have, like, it probably is nice to just go place, you know, it's going to be 70 and sunny. But I like that idea. I like the team bonding aspect. And we were talking off air about this, but it's really fun to see a young player like Karl Anthony Towns, who has this fan base in China. Why not go out there and acknowledge the support he gets?
I'm going to pitch you an idea.
Go ahead.
Here's what I'm thinking, is that at the draft, Jimmy Butler goes to the Timberwolves. Then throughout the offseason, these guys are getting Teague, they're getting Gibson, they're getting Crawford. Is it at all possible that after Jimbo went to the Timberwolves, Curry knew that they had to play in the preseason, got nervous, and did all these summer events in China to try and build up a name for the Warriors so that they're more hardly China as opposed to Timberwolves, because he knew that they're going to be such a problem in preseason matchup? Is this a very big move by Curry?
Can you repeat that last part? I don't know if it's my hearing or it's an issue with the phone, but the last part about Curry, what was that?
I'm thinking that Curry did all these things in China over the summer, all these events, Under Armour, because he's worried about the Timberwolves, how dominant they're going to be after the Butler trade, and so he was preemptively building up a fan base in China to help them out for this preseason game. I think he was planning for the preseason all summer long.
This is Conspiracy Colton. And I appreciate Conspiracy Colton. I mean, there may be something to it. Listen, these guys have agents. They got managers and all this. I'm sure they were like, dude, drum this up as much as you can. It's incredible. Just to take a step back and add some perspective here, as an old man does. I think it's crazy that a guy who played at Davidson for 3 years had these ankle issues, got passed by a team, and I don't know which team it was twice. I cannot remember which team it was. But got passed by one team twice, and Golden State, it may be hard to remember now, was just inept. Like, they were just so bad for years. And there's no reason that should happen. Like, this is, I think, the sixth largest market in the U.S. You know, it's a very wealthy area and kind of a hot place. There's no reason that, you know, you shouldn't be able to recruit players to go to San Francisco, basically. And, yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think the reach of the NBA. And so why wouldn't you drum that up? Colt Molesky, big fan base in China. I'm not even making this up. Huge fan base in China. I'm shocked we're not sending you there. I feel incompetent, for I've managed you poorly, Colton. And I've let you down. And I think you should be playing it up. It's something we think about, especially with podcasts and being online. Like, listen, we're not using an FM signal. We're not putting a newspaper in trucks, right? So why wouldn't you think about, hey, there may be an audience for this podcast. There certainly is for Colt Molesky. You'd think just put him on a Wolves podcast, there would be. But yeah, I mean, it's something you got to think about. You got to think globally, and that's why I like Silver and the way he operates the NBA. It is important to serve the fans here in Minneapolis, just like it's important to serve the fans of the Bay Area when you're with the Warriors. But why not play up to that fan base in China?
I'm not going to lie to you, too. Not only China, but, and I'm not going to say any names because I don't want to get sued or anything like that, but not only China, but also in Australia. I've had fans reach out to me on Twitter. So shout out to all of the fans that are abroad. Thank you for listening to Locked On Wolves.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. We appreciate that you're carrying out the Timberwolves fandom out abroad, not just in Minnesota. We appreciate you giving us the listens. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, Mr. Worldwide, that's what they call it, Colt Molesky. Yeah, they do. I'm not even, that is not even a joke. No, and it is fun to watch a product that is truly global. Like, they, you know, kind of feel that connectedness. I mean, I don't know when you're going to Australia next. I have, my brother studied abroad there, so I did go to Sydney years ago. It is kind of funny to think, like, if, you know, you might see someone with representing an NBA team there. Certainly with the fact that you can watch these games online or whatever, it's why I really do love the NBA, and it's incredible that, you know, look at you got to imagine Canada's pretty, you know, pulling for Wiggins. You got Towns with the China crowd, and, you know, guys, I think
and the jerky crowd. just in general.
Yeah, just the Sasquatches of the world. Yeah, no, that's they're a huge population. You got to be aware. Don't go in the woods.
You got to be aware of those guys.
Yeah, no. Yeah, where was my train of thought going? You distracted me with Sasquatch. We went the Sasquatch route. I don't know. No, I mean, I think a guy like Butler, for example, probably has a huge reach. It's why these clothing companies and stuff go after him, right? And I do wonder what, like, people around the world think of Tibbs. Like, I just kind of wonder what they're like, what was this crazy man who's, like, running around? Like, what is he doing on the sidelines? They're like, no, that's the coach. that man coaches the team.
Why does that mean guy keep yelling at those nice players?
I know. Yeah, no. It's so, yeah. And I, you know, it goes back to, I think, they're very, you know, we know how big certain, you know, NFL franchises are. Likely MLB in certain places. But it's so much, it's so easy to, like, kind of grow attached to these players when they're generally pretty accessible. They're not wearing the helmets. You can get pretty close to the court. And we're just trying to leech off them. Let's be honest. We're just trying to take Mr. Worldwide, Cole Molesky, bring our podcast, bring it to China, baby.
Oh, I'm always trying to work at an angle. I'm the gambler. That's the gambler in me.
Yeah, they're like, you probably owe people money in China. That was started a bad thing.
Never. Specifically for the game, though, I think there's three things that stand out for me that I'm going to be watching for very closely. The first thing is Tyus Jones. Obviously, I want to see his development. I want to see him play more minutes. He had 8 minutes in the first preseason game. I just want to see him get more reps, see how he looks, see how he's developed in an offseason with some of these guys, a little more consistency after playing in the NBA last year. There was a little bit of a deduction of minutes last year because of Chris Dunn, and you saw his minutes drop from 15 and a half to about 12, 13 per game that he was playing. So I'd like to see him play more minutes and see what he looks like with more minutes. And then Shabazz Muhammad, I'd like to see if he can follow up that impressive offensive performance, shooting 58% and scoring 22 points. If he can just show me and prove to me that he's consistent on offense. And then, you know how I like to buy stock, right, Tom? You know how I like to buy stock in all these random guys and teams.
Yeah, of course.
I'm a huge stock owner in the Jordan Bell stock, the rookie out of Oregon who had the 8-block game in March Madness. He's on the Warriors. I'm a huge stock owner in Jordan Bell just because I think he's going to be he's technically a power forward center kind of guy. I think he's really athletic, really fast. He's going to be one of those really impressive wing guys who's just super good on defense and really long and is going to get in a lot of passing lanes. And I'm excited to see him play on a transition team like the Warriors. So I'm going to be watching Bell very closely. I have almost all of his stock, so I'm going to be watching him as well.
Didn't the Warriors literally buy that pick from Chicago?
Yeah, it was a buy pick.
Yeah, no. So that's amazing. There's some dark money here. There's dark money involved.
Well, that's the thing that drives me nuts too. Is that such a thing that happens only for the good teams? The rich only get richer. Like, you don't see Sacramento going out and buying a pick that in what, February, he's going to for some reason just average 10 points a game through February just when they need a little pick me up off the bench. Like, it's just such a nice little deep piece off their bench that is probably going to do something like have 6 blocks in a playoff game, and he's the guy who saves them from losing a playoff game. Like, it's one of those things that a really good team does that nobody pays attention to until it's too late.
Yeah, no, one thing to note here, the fact that Golden State literally went from just incredibly, incredibly poorly run to what they are now, which this is what first-class organizations do. They learn how to, you know, the rich get richer, just like Cole Molesky. This is why his stock and everything. You know, this is probably, I would say this is kind of hope for the Wolves. Like, if you really turn this around and everything basically goes through Tibbs now, that as long as he knows what he's doing, it shouldn't matter the kind of Kevin Love, Khan, you know, 2009 draft era. You know, like, hopefully yeah, they can kind of bounce back from it. So that was one thing I have in mind. You mentioned Tyus Jones, Shabazz Muhammad, two interesting players, just because I think Tyus kind of has something to prove as a backup, We know Aaron Brooks is here. And beyond that, it's just really hard to play in front of kind of your own crowd. He's going to be judged differently because he's from Minnesota. There are people that love him, but it's extra attention. It's extra scrutiny. We know that. And with Muhammad, I think he's an intriguing player because he's looking to go make money. He took a bet on himself in the offseason. He chose the Minnesota Timberwolves over the Los Angeles Lakers. Literally a sentence I never thought would come out of my mouth. And I think beyond just those two guys performing well in Los Angeles, which I always feel like is a big deal. I know it was like in Anaheim in a hockey arena out there, and I know that like probably LeVar Ball got more attention than any player in that arena. But, you know, I think beyond all that, we're making probably too much of a preseason performance, but generally speaking, these are two players we should have our eyes on because Tyus and Shabazz are still young and they could be part of the future going forward here in Minnesota.
Well, I mentioned guys like Tyus Jones showing me something in preseason too, because I think, and we've talked about this before, I think the Timberwolves are really going to have to play, like, obviously it's a long season, but they're going to have to play with a lot of intent and purpose for the entirety of the season. In the Western Conference, that's so stacked this year, I don't think there's really any games you can drop. So if Tyus Jones doesn't come out and show me a bunch of stuff that he's improved on and grown in the preseason, I don't know how many minutes he's going to get in the regular season, because there's not a ton of games on the schedule that you can say, oh, that's going to be a pretty easy game. He's probably going to get 20 minutes in that game. You know, like, I don't see a situation if he doesn't come out and look improved where he's getting a ton of minutes just because that playoff race is going to be so tight in the West.
Yeah, it's kind of a paradigm shift, I would say, for fans, where you have to wrap your head around, like, they're no longer in the player development phase, right? They're going to San Diego and China to build chemistry, just as kind of the Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen big three did with Boston. And, you know, Jamal Crawford came out and advocated for this and all this. Like, it's more about instant chemistry that they're trying to build before the regular season. And then it's no longer about developing players. Like, you either are going to produce or you're going to sit on the bench. And we know with Tibbs, he is very willing to sit a whole bunch of players on the bench and just grind out the guys who are playing well. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it's just going to be – it's a welcome change, but it's going to be a change for a lot of Wolves fans who are used to, like, kind of sitting there and speculating, oh, what's – you know, what could Tyus become or what could Shabazz become? If they're not performing, they're not going to play. Yeah, it's just funny. Like, I'm even trying to wrap my head around it a little bit, and I do remember, kind of the Garnett-Marbury era or whatever, but it's been a long time since it wasn't just about player development, where it was literally, did we win or lose tonight? And that's, that's going to determine everything for the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is
And you're talking about divisions. They're right there with the Nuggets, who I think is going to be a pretty good team, and the Thunder, who are going to be a very good team, so... That's just immediately, not even thinking about conference, but just in your division, that those are the guys you have to kind of compete with all season long and are in a foot race with. And so that's your level, and you've got to meet that bar every week.
Yeah, there is a good chance, I believe, that the 4-6 seed in the West is occupied by someone in this division. I think you're probably competing for Denver, the Wolves are, to see if they can get into that 5-4 game. And there's a chance the Thunder really, I said they're a little bit boomer bust. There's a chance they really click and bypass San Antonio and maybe even Houston, right? But there's a good chance that they're occupying that four seed there. And it's a weird concept. I've thought about writing it. I just don't know exactly how to like frame this. That, like, does it matter that you develop division rivalries? Like, is that actually going to happen? And if it does, is that a good thing? Like, why would you want a division rivalry with a team in Oklahoma City? And another one in Denver, going back to my original rant from the earlier in the show. But you're right. I mean, you really can't drop games because you start slotting down in the division and, you know, someone from Portland gets snubbed, one of those guys, Lillard or McCollum or something, and they start going off. And all of a sudden, the Wolves are back in the kind of same, like, oh, are we going to make it this year? And, you just don't want that question creep in their head. You want them to be focused on, could we get into that 5-4 matchup? Could we get into a situation where maybe we could steal a playoff series in the first round? And we all know, look, if they're an 8 seed and get crushed in the first round, they still got into the playoffs and took a step forward as a franchise.
Absolutely. And Now moving on to a new saber we're going to try out, something a little different. Because I'm doing a bunch of shows with other people, every once in a while when I'm doing a show with Tom, we're going to do a Tell Me I'm Wrong segment, because Tom, obviously the older, wiser one of the two of us, I'm the young buck who's got all these brash calls and making all these brash moves. I've got Piston stock, I've got Mon Shumpert stock, I've got Darn Bell stock. I'm all over the place. I've got all these calls that I think are right. And I have Tom here to tell me if they're right or wrong. So I have four propositions for you in our first one. My first one is Wiggins, most improved player in the NBA. What do you think? Do you think he can be defensively good enough to be in the running for that award?
I think so for two reasons. First of all, he seems defensively capable. Like, if he gets to that point, I know it was Towns actually on Media Day who was saying, I want to be an instinctual player, which, again, this is common across all sports. It's kind of a funny concept that the less you think, the better you play, just because, again, you're not running the calculation in your head. You're literally just doing the right thing at the right time. Assuming he understands the Thibodeau defense, assuming that he improves because he has the same coach for the second year in a row, and assuming that this chemistry is built really quickly here in San Diego and China, you would think the defense would be there just because he has the natural skill to do it. Also, there's this added pressure of, yes, assuming he signs this contract, which is still, I remember you and Timmy were talking about this on the last show, you know, it's still a weird thing.
Tim and I are concerned. We're genuinely concerned.
I'm with you on this concern. Like, it's just, I love his attitude that everything kind of rolls off him and all this, but this is generational money. I mean, I would not mess around. As Cole Molesky, rich guy with a lot of stock, you understand the situation. You understand the situation. And, I would not mess around with that if I'm Andrew Wiggins. But regardless, assuming he signs that contract and we know those checks cash, I still think there's going to be that pressure there, because it's not so much what the pressure he had as a young player saying, hey, I want to go sign this big contract that I could potentially sign. But it's more, I know how much scrutiny is coming, right? He's going to feel that pressure right away. And so between the motivation to live up to that contract, probably something him and Glenn Taylor, we assume, discussed, right? Going back to that big narrative. And with his natural ability and the environment he's in, I don't think that's crazy. I really do believe that this guy is a very talented player. Is he quite where Towns could be? No, but Towns is a very, in my mind, a very rare player. Andrew Wiggins can be that all-star, you know, kind of that, you know, one of the pillars here in Minnesota. And so that, I don't think that's crazy at all.
All righty. 1-0 in our first segment, our debut of this segment.
Week one win. That's always big.
I love it. All right, my next one. Fresh out of NC State, the rookie point guard for the Dallas Mavericks, Dennis Smith Jr., rookie of the year. Tell me I'm wrong.
This is Cole Molesky, future scout. This was the guy you were big on in summer league, right?
Yep.
I go back to this, and I'm not an expert on the Dallas Mavericks. I don't have that great NBA mind like Colton Molesky does. But I will tell you this. The Mavericks seem like a good organization. The fact that this, and I know this was years ago at this point, but that this team beat the upstart Heat, and there's something about them. Just, you know, again, we interview the opposing coaches. You get Tibbs is a guy who, I don't know if he was actually there on his sabbatical, but he's a guy who knows a whole bunch about the league. And it is funny how the NBA, how worldwide we talk about how big these stars are, all that. It is like a community. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they talk about our league. There's this ownership of that everyone in the NBA has. And with how much praise they get, you'd think it'd be a good spot for a rookie. He seems wonderfully gifted. He certainly made an impression on one young Cole Molesky in the summer league. And I mean, it does. I'm not a gambling man like Colton Molesky. I don't have that millions to throw around, but
straight cash, homie.
But straight cash, baby. I'm not calling him the favorite here, but could it happen? Sure. I mean, I think when that happens, when you get a guy who's picked a little bit lower and maybe not expected to reach those heights, when they do, it's a good environment. I think it's actually why a lot of players underachieved in Minnesota, right? I mean, it was just a bad environment. It was chaotic. Going back to the Kevin Love, what is the plan? And yeah, if a guy's going to do that, kind of pull off that upset, you would think it'd be a Dallas Maverick. That would not surprise me.
Well, and Vegas has the win total over under at 35.5 wins for the Mavericks. And granted, this is hinging on a rookie who has had knee problems before, but if he explodes, he's in a really good spot. I think a better spot than maybe even Lonzo with the team around it, just because he's got Dirk, Nerlens Noel on the defensive side. He's got a shooter in Barnes with him. And then he's got Yogi Ferrell to come off the bench. He can kind of be a plug-and-play player all over the place on that roster. I really like the guys around him. I think the bench is deeper than people will anticipate it being going into the season. And the biggest thing for him going into the draft was everybody kept saying he's the most athletic player in this draft. So that's why I like him. I think he could be a sneaky good pick. My third one, the win total for the Minnesota Timberwolves is at 48.5 wins. I am taking them for 51. Yes.
51
wins. 51 wins on the season. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I'm with you. Actually, you're ahead of me by one win. I believe this is a 50-win team. I go back to Britt Robson, one of the smartest basketball guys here in the market, one of the best writers, period, you will find, and one of just my favorite people. I just love Britt. One day, Colton, you will meet the sage. This man is the sage. You will one day meet the sage. But damn it, I do this to myself.
I have to grow up before that happens.
Everybody, you'll get there one day. But he said, he saw a 47 win team in last year's team. We know they didn't achieve that, but given again the kind of pillars you have here, with Towns at Wiggins, given what Butler's gonna bring, I think Teague sold himself on a lot of people. Again, one preseason game, shouldn't overreact. I did love that Timmy Little, he texted me, he's like, I want to write 5 overreactions. I was like, sure. I think Teague's starting to sell himself on the Wolves fan base, most of which are not haters like Komolesky of Mr. Ricky Rubio, but the people that loved Rubio, big time hater.
Sorry.
You got cut off there, but I'm not even going to have you repeat that. It's inappropriate for this podcast. anyways, Jeff Teague selling himself. I think Gibson seems to be in a good situation. Looks like the next Klay Thompson, I guess. Going back, what the hell was the original point of this? I've completely distracted myself. What was
you
the
like
question?
You like the 50 wins. You like the 50,
50
wins.
50 wins, yes. It just seems like the components are there, and this team should improve from last year, and I really do think they underachieved. Look, Vegas is very often not wrong. Cole Molesky, you've met one other sage. There are multiple sages here. There's not like a one sage to rule them all. Mike Gelfand, who is the editor of the content here at Zone Coverage, former KQ guy, longtime writer. I know you guys sat down, had a talk. He was supposed to teach you how to write. Unfortunately, you guys just talked about gambling. This is what I know. This is what I heard. But this is Mike Gelfand's. He is the grandmaster degenerate. he gambles on everything. I had a long email chain about many things. However, a lot of gambling stuff about the Twins game last night with Mr. Gelfand. But his rule of thumb is always, the line is always right. You just have to guess what people, which people are going to be wrong, which people on which side. I do believe that the people on the overside will be correct here. I look at last year, I do think it was just an underachieving team. I just don't think 50, this is assuming health. I think it's very practical. And I think one of the number one things here is, aside from Wiggins' motivation to improve, Shabazz's motivation to improve, the talent on the team, this is kind of finally Tibbs guys here or whatever, is that you have to win every night. And it's just, you're not going to have nights off, and those would chip away from the win total, right? It only takes 2 or 3 nights off that you go to the under. And I think this team's going to be engaged. I think they're talented. They are not the best team in the West. I don't even know if they're in the top 4, but I think you can be a 50-win team, especially because, look, you get to play the East, which is nice.
Well, then they lose. I don't have the front. Lose game. After leading in the fourth quarter, yeah. Something crazy. Like, if the defense that Thibodeau is going to instill, plus the defense that Butler brings with him, and hopefully the improvement to Wiggins, if all that falls into place, even after a month of gelling, like, that's got to be worth at least 15 to
Yeah. No, I agree. You're cutting out here, but again, this is the right thing to happen. This is the right thing to happen. You're running your mouth on this podcast. I'm joking, of course. Alan Horton, who is a great...
I love it.
It's so weird when I can't hear you because I'm like, is he just pissed now? But no, Alan Horton, who actually used to host this, the original host of this podcast, obviously the radio guy for the Wolves, a great follow on Twitter, had some sort of stat where it's like the Wolves won 50% of games where I think they had a 20-point lead. I don't remember it completely, but you're supposed to win like 90% of those, of course, right? Of course. Especially with a Tom Thibodeau defense once it's fully installed. If they had won the games that they're supposed to win based on that stat, I think they were a 47-win team or something. You know, it was one of those things where it's just like, you're like, how did this happen so often? You would assume this is a team that once you have a substantial lead late enough in a game, they're just going to suck the oxygen out of the room, right? They're just going to suffocate you. So I think that's an astute point, even if we didn't hear all of it. We should probably wrap this up because something's wrong and literally my head is ringing now from all the distortion. But hopefully it's clean to all you people.
I got one last one for you. I got one quick one for you, and then we'll go. My last one is Russell Westbrook signing the huge $200 million plus extension on Kevin Durant's birthday. The biggest FU in basketball history player to another.
How did you find this out? I didn't realize it was his birthday.
Yep, it was on Kevin Durant's birthday. Because this is the kind of content that I bring to Lockdown Wolves.
I have Facebook friends with Kevin Durant. That's how he knows. one of the fake accounts.
It's under a hidden account, though. It's not actually Kevin Durant's.
Yeah, correct, account. Correct. no, such a great, I mean, Russell Westbrook, the ultimate FU kind of player. One of my favorite players to watch live. I love this. I know that 205 is Trump change to a guy like Colton Lesky to most of this. This is huge, huge money. This also probably means that no longer is Oklahoma City just kind of the waypoint to Los Angeles. You know, if he shows that commitment to staying there, hats off to the organization for keeping him around. And you would think, you know, Melo and Paul George would have to think, you know, is my future here too. So it's a huge thing for the league, huge thing for Russell Westbrook. And God, I love it. I love everything about it.
Alrighty, that's it for me. I went 4-0 in my first one of my first episode of Tell Me I'm Wrong. So I feel like that's a win for me. Do you have anything else you want to plug or add?
I'm just honored to be with a genius like Colt Molesky, just an absolute genius. That literally could not feel more honored right now.
Yeah, I bet on the Twins too, so I don't know how much of a genius I am. But nevertheless, we're moving on. We're getting better and we're getting close to the NBA season. He's Tom Schreier. I am Colt Molesky, and this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.